You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Movies about political assassinations never come with merchandising, do they, Bo?
Oh, hey! Wait. That's why I'm introducing this new doggerel. Remember the 22nd of November. We'll now be shooting Richard in the back of the head in effigy.
Back and to the left, as always. I'm Richard.
I'm Bo.
I'm Frank.
JC.
Chris.
And we are reviewing Jackie, which is Natalie Portman's, you know, pretty much next guaranteed Oscar, I'm
thinking. Yeah, it's Black Swan 2, except with more assassination.
This is the Jackie Kennedy biopic, which really concentrates on the 4 days beginning with Jack Kennedy's assassination. Although it kind of does pull a little bit of trick, because actually there are moments from 1967 when Jack was reinterred with the two children they lost.
Yes.
So So if you don't know that bit of the history, then you don't know this actually takes place across basically 4 years.
That was a little bit of a surprise to me, because I was wondering what was going on, and then I sort of
it's kind of strange. The framing device they use is the very famous Life magazine article or interview that she did. You know, it was one of the first times she kind of spoke publicly about the aftermath. Which the conceit of this film is that it happens in winter of 63, and boy, that's not winter in Massachusetts by any stretch of the imagination in this film.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you know the chronology of when everything happened, then this is actually over a long period of time. But you don't need to, because this is a portrait of grief.
Yeah,
and the fact absolutely. That her grief never goes away. And if you know it's across 4 years, then it adds a real bitter poignancy to it. Mm. But what this really is a masterclass by Portman. I mean, first of all, she gets Jackie Kennedy down in ways that I've never really seen a performance quite get. And nobody's really tried to. There was a mini series in the 80s, which actually really more concentrated on her when she was Jackie Onassis.
When she was Jackie Onassis, yeah. And getting
but
past.
This is, you know, this is a woman who is realizing that she now has a place in history. She thought she had one. And they do refer constantly to the Camelot legacy. Mm. But this is really about her realizing
which
her
is really,
legacy is not the same.
I mean, I was surprised. A lot of the myth of the Camelot legacy comes from the interview that she does, which is used as the framing device, because that was where she said, like, that was Jack's. Jack would listen to that song, like, all the time. And, you know, that's what I want people to come away with. The idea of our administration, because there will be better, or there will be great presidents again, but you'll never have this moment again. And it's absolutely true. You know, obviously the Kennedy assassination is one of the major turning points in the loss of American innocence. Certainly the Kennedy assassination has had several films made about it, but this is absolutely one of the most personal, because it is exploring Jackie, and you don't only get the sense of this traumatic national event, but this traumatic personal event that deals with you know, her losing her husband, who she, you know, admittedly had a tumultuous relationship with, as well as losing the father of her children.
Yeah.
And she actually her Being a newspaper woman herself, being a journalist herself, she said she'd do the interview, but she had complete control over what was in it. And so she more or less edited her own interview. So in this movie, you see her saying some stuff that, you know, was off the record.
Which I thought those sequences were handled extremely well. Because
I think so, too.
These also reflect, you know, how they handled Death of a President.
Sure.
Because when the book Portrait of a President was written, they were really mad that they didn't have the degree of control. And for the access for the author to be given, they really had to have a sense that they trusted what they were going to do. And there's this beautiful dance that goes on in those sequences between her and the journalist, where she's recounting, and there are moments where she's going, you want to know what it really was? Mm. Well, here's what it is. But you can't talk about what those things are.
Yeah.
And he does say, you know, there's the moments where he's like, you know, she said, well, what are the questions you want to ask? And he said, what did it feel like to have it, you know, have his brain in your lap, you know, it's like, which is what you want to know.
Because not only moments like that, but the way in which this is a unique movie about grief, like you said, is I don't think anyone throughout the entire 60 years since it happened ever thought about the days after what specifically she went through as far as, oh, hey, you're not the first lady anymore. You got to move all your shit out of the house. Oh, and hey, by the way, can you help us plan this funeral?
Actually, that is some of the stuff that's very specifically dealt with in Death, the Present of the Time, and these whole issues, because nobody had ever had to deal with that really in that way since Lincoln.
And not only that, but you get the Johnson, the Johnson, what ended up being the Johnson administration was very much its own camp inside the Kennedy administration. Mm-hmm. And so when John was assassinated, all of a sudden you get Johnson moving right in and replacing Bobby as Attorney General, replacing several other points, appointments. He kept Robert McNamara as Secretary. So good call there.
Yeah.
Certainly a middle part of this is the transitory period, and the fact that Jack is literally lying in state. In the White House for the more private ceremony, and then he is taken to the Capitol building, and basically Jackie plans this pomp and circumstance funeral that has never been seen since the assassination of Abraham Lincoln and has yet to be seen again. Let's hope, or maybe not.
Everyone forgets about Walter McKinley.
Walter McKinley and John Garfield. There's a great bit in this where she's talking to people, and she's like, "Do you know who William McKinley is?" And I'm like, "No." "Do you know who John Garfield is?" "No." "Do you know who Abraham Lincoln is?" "Well, yeah." And so she's like, "Okay, well, there's our nominee for funeral arrangements."
Yeah, those core sequences where she's talking to the journalist. Billy Crudup, who is now unrecognizable as Theodore White. I did not recognize him in the slightest. I was like, got to the end of the credits and be like, Billy Crudup's in this?
He's really? One of those guys who's he's been very much kind of below the radar, and now he's popped back up this year in this.
He's fantastic in this, by the way. He's the only actor that can actually hold
her. I think this and 20th Century Women, he does an amazing job, so it's nice to see him.
I gotta say, Peter Sarsgaard as Bobby, I think he's spectacular. Nails it.
The guy who plays Jack does a great job too, exactly. But obviously not in a lot of this movie. Whereas Bobby's one of the few people who can kind of get through Jackie's guard and really speak personally to her. And Sarsgaard, as usual, being the master craftsman he is, nails it.
And a great cameo by Greta Gerwig as Nancy Tuckerman, who was basically Jackie's confidant and consigliere within the administration, and her only real friend who remembered her from before the point where she was the first lady.
They were both debutantes together, and indeed, she ended up working for her for the rest of her life.
Yeah,
testament to how good she is, because such a small role, but she's every bit just nails it throughout.
And I think one of the remarkable things that this manages is to catch the spirit of innocence of the opening days of the Kennedy administration, because you can't think about it now without thinking about this is, you know, how it ended. Mm-hmm. But you actually look at what was written during the time, and yes, it was controversial, and yes, everybody concentrates on, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis and things like that. But Jack Kennedy was the first president who went to his inauguration in the 20th century not wearing a top hat. Yeah. This was a change, and it catches that sense of innocence. And something is changing.
He killed the fedora for a long time, and we can only thank him for that.
But there's this reverence for the office, but saying it has to enter the new phase, and that's reflected in the whole subplot about the TV when they did the TV tour of the White House,
Before the Kennedy administration, like basically, if you were president, you could take whatever you want from the White House with you, and so a lot of these kind of archival items that are there now that are preserved in like the Lincoln bedroom. And the Rose Room, what have you, were not there. And Jackie Kennedy went and she found these. She tracked them down and, you know, redesigned the White House to be the people's house and did that, you know, obviously, you know, seminal TV interview, which is one of the first times that the American public had been invited in. It was, you know, like going into Buckingham Palace, which they did at some point with Queen Liz.
Much later.
Yes. Early adopters, we.
Yeah.
You know, that they do pay very much attention to the fact that you know, Jack and Jackie were our you know, American royalty for a bit, and they you know, re-imbued the office with this kind of high state and majesty
and enthusiasm,
yeah. And you know, you could see in the transition that, you know, it's like, oh well, you know, we didn't get to finish this. Which is very, and there's a great scene. Richard E. Grant does a great job playing William Walton, I believe, who was the interior decorator that Jackie worked with for the redesign. And there's this scene as she's leaving, and he's sitting with Lady Bird Johnson, and she's discussing, you know, what she wants to do wallpaper wise, and he just kind of looks at her, and there's this very tragic, lovely moment of denouement.
Final thoughts, Herman.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of this movie.
What?
In all honesty. I have just kind of problems in general with biopics. Like, it's usually just to serve a single performance in the film itself. And everything else is just kind of window dressing. And even if, like, you have, you know, other performances in the film, I always feel like they're just not given enough to do. And that was kind of the case of Jackie. You know, Peter Skarsgård as Bobby Kennedy, I thought he was... did a pretty piss poor job, honestly.
Thank you. Yes, wow. I completely agree with you.
Know, that, right? Yeah. The other thing is, you know, okay, so he doesn't look like Bobby Kennedy. I can let that go, but he just doesn't nail the voice whatsoever. There was actually a point in the film, like, is this Bobby Kennedy? And after a while, I'm like, oh, it is Bobby, and you don't even realize that the film just makes the assumption, like, oh, you already know it's Bobby Kennedy because Peter Skarsgård's doing.
So you wanted him to be more like, I came into the White House without wearing pants, and I'll leave without wearing pants.
I expected him to try. And yeah, there you go. Exactly. You know,
not just do Peter Skarsgård.
Yeah, exactly. Who, you know, okay. with a hint of a Boston accent, which he would drop throughout most of the film.
He's in there a little bit.
Yeah. And the one thing I will agree with you, I think that it's great that the framing device of the film, where it's structured around this interview with, with Billy Crudup's character, I think that's great. But then there's also, like, an additional framing device with John Hurt, who is still alive, by the way. I guess he's a lich or something. But, and it's like.
All the time.
Yeah.
He's not super old, I don't think.
He looks it. but the thing.
Yes, in Britain, they actually let their actors age, not like here.
He'll probably survive 2016.
No, hopefully.
Let's go vast amounts of alcohol.
I certainly don't want him to die, but it's just like, man, I can't believe it.
That's what Jin'll do to you.
But the thing is that why is that? She has this whole other conversation with this priest. I mean, John Hurt plays the priest in the film. It's like, why is this necessary for her just to have to go, like, oh, why is God so cruel? It's like, come on, we've had this kind of back and forth in other types of movies before. We don't need another framing device. It's just not necessary. It's just kind of pointless. You can cut that and all those scenes out of the movie, and there's just no point to
that. Do you think it would have worked, you know, had it not been used as a framing device?
Yeah,
that's its own sort of like standalone scene.
The thing is that you could have had either or. It's like you can cut out either the stuff with Billy Crudup or and keep the John Hurt stuff. Or it's like you don't need two. And for me, that just didn't work. Where I did feel like this film shined is when Natalie Portman, of course, is on screen, which is the majority of the film. I think she nails the voice. Mm-hmm. I think that she just kind of not so much even the voice, but the way just the enunciations, the mannerisms, and everything. This movie also uses, like, a lot of archive footage, and though, you know, Natalie Portman doesn't look like, Jackie Kennedy, she still kind of nails the mannerisms to a certain extent, and just, like, the presentation, whereas, like, other people, like Skarsgård, it's just like, yeah, I'm just filling in here. I'm not really sure why. Or even, I forget the other guy who plays LBJ, but he basically says two lines in the entire film. Yeah. And, like, the best scene I thought that him and Skarsgård had is when they kind of hint at the obvious tensions between the two, which I like. I mean, I love the whole, like, dynamic between Bobby Kennedy and LBJ, and I would have liked to see more of that.
Nobody's going
to
give it up for Matt Casella is finally getting a great casting as Jack Flinney after years of being in the Doogie Howser stereotype.
Oh, that's right, no. Yeah.
No, they're not.
He's just been biding time.
I thought he was good.
I was happy to see that, too, because he had that bit part in The Sopranos, where I was like, oh, hey, he's not Doogie Howser's friend anymore.
He actually works quite regularly.
Yeah.
Anyway,
to get my brain. And I thought some of the pacing was off because of the inclusion of these kind of the extra framing device. So for me, I probably give this 6.5. I don't know, brain matter scalps. That's the one thing I'd say is that it's you didn't need to show the assassination. I think I would have been even happier had they not, but it was like the whole film was leading up to that point, and it's like it's not necessary. So,
yeah, I might be kind of so because you guys clearly liked it and he didn't like it as much, so I'm probably going to be somewhere in the middle. Fantastic trailer, and so this could be might be a situation in which I was fooled a little bit by the trailer because it's so good. Fun fact, I first watched the trailer and I was like, oh, this seems like Darren Aronofsky directed it, and he actually produced it because it sort of had that feel to me. Really grateful
after the fact, though.
What's up?
He came on board as producer after filming.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay. Really grateful for the fact that this is an hour and 40 minutes. I think it proved that in every award season movie doesn't have to be a 2.5-hour-long epic just for the sake of being a 2.5-hour-long epic. Yeah, Natalie Portman's performance was great. I like the welcoming trend lately of biopics not necessarily focusing on the entire life because I feel like biopics all follow the same formula of, like, I'm nothing, I'm nobody, I'm famous, I fuck up.
Then a horrible sawmill accident occurs, yeah. And I become a musician.
Yeah. I fuck up, everybody hates me, everybody loves me again, I'm famous and I'm dead. So
let's go gay.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like Steve Jobs did that, focused on a few elements of Steve Jobs' life, so this one, focusing on just this terrible aspect of Jackie Kennedy's life, was really interesting and I think made for a better film. Yeah, but overall, I was slightly disappointed. I expected a little bit more out of it. But yeah, the performance is great, and if she wins the Oscar, I'm not going to dispute it. She definitely deserved it. I would say 6.5 also, even though I liked it a lot more than you did. 6.5 out of 10 pieces of Lincoln furniture.
Well, you know, this is probably going to be the most watched performance of the year, certainly the most, you know, watched female performance, and it's a hard role to nail down. So many actresses have tried. You know, like Jacqueline Smith tried it, Katie Holmes is actually on filming her second attempt at it. But I think that Natalie Portman probably did it best because she just, you know, beyond just being down with the voice and the mannerisms, she got the character's vulnerability and her strength. And I think that's also where, you know, the movie strength is, because it doesn't try, as you pointed out, like to chronicle, well, this is the date that she did this, and this is the time she did this. And I remember hearing an interview randomly with Roma Downey years ago, when she played Jacqueline Kennedy, and she said that when she received the script, it was like a telephone book, because it tried to cram so much, you know, event-wise into however long the production was. But I love that this one just focused on her and her essence and her sensibility, and it nails it. And, you know, it does right by her. I do agree that the framing device, it is one framing device too many. Had they just stuck, you know, with the one, which I love, by the way, I think that it's, you know, the scenes with Natalie Portman and Billy Crudup are fantastic. In fact, I think he's the only one that stands out of the supporting cast because she is so good that everyone gets lost. Richard E. Grant gets lost. Greta Gerwig, Peter Sarsgaard. You know, they do fine work, but it's only Crudup that really stands out. Because, you know, it's a movie about Jackie. You know, and she is still, to this day, such an alluring and enticing figure. And she always will be. And, yeah, there are problems. I didn't like the score. I thought the score belonged like in a Dario Argento film. But overall, it's a solid film. And I'd say I'd have to give it probably 7 framing devices out of 10.
Mo?
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with the mass so far.
This might be happening on this side of the couch. And, that's what we're saying.
And the major thing that I would say is that I think there's this conceit that we have as moviegoers, as playgoers, what have you, that everything now has to be an ensemble piece, and I don't agree with that. I think sometimes that star turns are necessary, and that sometimes a tour de force like this can be very explicatory. I couldn't disagree more that the people got lost in the background here. I thought there were great performances. Granted, not a lot of screen time, but that doesn't necessarily equate a great performance. I think Richard E. Grant did an incredible job here. I thought Peter Sarsgaard did a very good job. I guess he wasn't dropping enough R's for you guys, but hey. Greta Gerwig, certainly.
Never said chowder.
Greta Gerwig certainly shone in this, and... You know, they did their job, which was to elevate the experience of Jacqueline and let us see what was going on through her eyes, and really not steal the spotlight from Portman. She, of course, comports herself.
I do not endorse this pun.
Quite well in this. I am not a big fan of biopics, as a matter of fact. I think they can get very hidebound. I think they can, a lot of people who write biopics, they find these little moments in a person's life and just want to harp on them. And I don't think this does this. I think this gives you a very, Richard said, dance-like. And I think that's a good metaphor for the way it goes through and utilizes its timeline to express what Jackie was going through at this point, and much more importantly, what it meant to us as a country, both politically and emotionally. So, that being said, once again, it is a biopic, and that always hems you in a little, so I'm deducting a little bit for that. And I will give I give this 8.5 jelly donuts out of 10.
I think this is an extraordinary film. And I have to disagree with the idea that these are framing mechanisms. They aren't.
No.
What it does...
You can't
is
order
it,
Catholicism.
Is it swirls these elements together. And it moves between these events so smoothly and creates these echoes and ripples that I think add power to each other. And the interview, it resonates with the more honest confessional with the priest. And they resonate with the moments after Jack's death. And they resonate with her trying to organize the funeral. Because what it's about is about somebody in an extraordinary situation trying to create a legacy. And the reason why you have to do a biopic like this is because I think it's not understood what Jackie was trying to do. And I think this film gets that across. Mm. She was trying to build a legacy. And there are moments where she is cruel and manipulative because that's what she has to be. She has to be that for the country, and she has to be that for the legacy of her children and for the legacy of her husband.
Growing up as a kid, my mom, worshipped Jackie. I didn't really understood why, and this made me understand it a little bit better.
And she sets something in motion. And this really reinforces that without her, the Kennedy legacy would have probably... either been completely different or maybe vaporized. I think the score is remarkable and adds to that, otherworldly feel, because this is a moment where everything has fallen apart and she is trying to pull the world together by force of will. And at the same time, she is falling apart. And I think that contradiction is so powerful here and so pivotal. I think that's really what Portman catches. That those moments where she is clearly falling apart. And even in those moments with Nancy, where the one person that she can confide in, even then she can't really let everything go. There's only those moments where she is in total personal collapse. And she is holding it together for the country and what she wants the country to be and what she hopes it will hold together as. And that's a remarkable achievement from the script, from the director, but particularly from Portman. This is an extraordinary performance that, if she doesn't win the Oscar, I'm not sure who's going to beat her this year. I really don't see anything coming, because this is heartbreaking. It's been a weird year, because this has been a year of films about grief, which is really timely, yes, by complete accident. But this stands with Manchester by the Sea as a great examination of how you deal with grief. That it is not something you get over. It's not a cold. It's not a sprained ankle. it is part of you. And she absorbs that so well and pulls that together. That this is about functioning through extraordinary grief and not necessarily a grief that anybody else is ever going to be able to associate with. Mm-hmm. And that's why this biopic is relevant and important. This is a solid 9 out of 10 pink pillbox hats.
I was going to go with that, actually.
If nothing else, make sure you say after the credits where they set up Jackie 2, the Onassising.
For the record, I'm with Richard.
You're with him.